Rocky Horror Minute is rated R. The Rocky Horror Picture Show is also rated R. We're going to spend this time discussing the movie in gory detail, and along the road, we will talk about some adult content and use some of our favorite swear words.
Baby Gronk got rizzed up by Livy?
Consider yourselves warned. Welcome to Rocky Horror Minute, the podcast where we break down the Rocky Horror Picture Show in excruciating detail, 1 minute at a time. I'm one of your hosts, Leandra.
And I'm your other host, Kelly.
And today we're joined by a very special guest, a man who once serenaded Kelly and I with an amazing Pee Wee Herman Rocky Horror crossover song, the one and only Sean from Next Scene Pod. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm so excited to be here.
Sean, how the hell are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
Very good.
Well, before we jump into our discussion of Minute 72, Sean, can you tell us a bit about your connection to the movie and if you remember the first time you saw the film?
Sure. Yeah, yes. And I do remember the first time, which is unusual. Usually I don't remember the first time I've seen films. But this one I remember because actually my mother brought me to see Rocky Horror.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Which I never really appreciated. So, I'm loving the podcast. I love listening. I love, reliving and examining this movie in fine detail. But it really got me to appreciate, I don't know if I ever really appreciated kind of how unique and how special it is. And most of your guests are talking about an older sibling, or they're at a sleepover and it's like a friend's cooler older sibling kind of, shows them the movie. But yeah, I was 15, and it happened to be that Halloween was on a Friday that year. And so astute listeners can kind of figure out how old I might be from that hint. But so Halloween was on a Friday. And so at, that night at midnight, my mother took me and my best friend to see Rocky Horror. We were both 15 at the time. And, we had, we found our people. I think it's a Tom Wolfe quote. He was kind of riding around with the Hell's Angels for a book, for research, and it asked them, how do you recruit new members? And they said, we don't, we recognize them. Basically you're already a Hell's Angel. You just haven't hooked up with the group yet. And I felt that way about, Rocky Horror. Like, we were already Rocky Horror fans. We just didn't know it yet. We just hadn't met up with our, our people yet. But, So 15 with my mother in the theater, midnight, Friday night on Halloween. If I remember correctly, we were dressed up as the Blues Brothers. I was Elwood, and my friend Russell, he was dressed up as Jake, for Halloween. And yeah, just seeing, and this was, kind of like, it was a little wilder. I think later on the theaters kind of clamped down in terms of what you can do, but we were, throwing toast, throwing cards. People had spray bottles for, water for the rain. This was the time there were like lighters involved. It wasn't, for Frankenstein's place when there's a light, people would whip out lighters. It wasn't just lighting up your cell phone. Kind of back in the Wild West days of yore. So that was my first time and loved it from the get-go. And then kind of later in high school and in college, that was like the regular hangout, like Friday night, Saturday night, every weekend. And even if we weren't going in to see the film, I was kind of in the suburbs. I was in the suburbs. There wasn't a lot to do at night. We didn't really have a place where you could get, a large group. So we'd go hang out and we would either go see Rocky or just hang out in the parking lot outside the theater. My home theater was the old theater at Middlesex Mall in South Plainfield, New Jersey. RIP, that theater is no longer there. But we would just go and see Rocky, hang out in the parking lot, go to the, I forget if it was a ShopRite or, just go to the market and pick up a bunch of, buy a dozen cans of whipped cream for Whippets, and then after the movie, we'd go across the street to the Blue Fountain Diner for, cheese fries and coffee, and hang out, and that was my scene for several years.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. So I grew up with, even before I'd seen the film, my mother would play the soundtrack album, and I grew up in a household where people would just break into song at random moments, and just kind of like being a teenage boy and your mom singing Touch a Touch a Touch Me, probably explains a lot about who I am today. But yeah, that was kind of my introduction, my initiation into the world of Rocky Horror.
That's really amazing.
And it is, it's wild that you bring up Whippets. For a long time, that was the only quote unquote drug use that I had ever done or had. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't even had weed up until a couple of years ago. And I even had to do a polygraph for a job that I was applying for. And when we got to the drug use part of it, the technician was like, "Have you ever done any drugs, including weed?" I'm like, "Oh God, not weed, but I did unfortunately have a whippet." And this polygraph technician just laughed at me because that's not a real drug. But I can absolutely appreciate that, that can be part of the Rocky experience.
Yeah.
Shout out to listener Adrian, who still does whippets like a 15-year-old, or Nangs, as he calls them.
That is, it really is a 15-year-old thing. You can't buy real drugs in this town.
Yeah. you make do, make do with what you have. And I don't know. It's an okay drug. It's fun.
I never did it because I'm afraid of getting a headache.
Yeah.
And a headache you shall have.
Yeah. That same reason I've never done cocaine is because everyone tells me you get a really bad sinus headache. And I was like, I don't want that.
I just think that I'd like it too much.
Yeah, that's the problem with cocaine.
I would try it if it weren't for that.
So, Kelly, tell me about minute 72, please.
Okay. So it starts with a pan up Janet's body while she says, "I can't move my feet." Then Scott rattles his wheels and says, "My wheels," then claps his hands to his face and says, "My God, I can't move my wheels." Brad is kind of pulling on his foot, which also isn't moving, and says, "It's as if we're glued to the spot," and punches the air. And Frank smugly says, "You are so quick with fear, you tiny fools." Janet gives us a really melodramatic, "Oh, we're trapped," and puts a hand over her forehead. Frank then hops down and says, "It's something you'll get used to," struts over past her and says, "A mental mind fuck can be nice." And then Brad kind of takes a swing at him impotently as he walks by. Janet, when she hears the curse word, yells in agony. And then Dr. Scott comes in and says, "You won't find Earth people quite the easy mark you imagine. This sonic transducer, it is, I suppose, some sort of audio vibratory physiomolecular transport device." And then Brad says, "You mean," and he shoulder claps Dr. Scott, who replies, "Yes, Brad, it's something we ourselves have been working on for quite some time." Brad nods vigorously and he says, "But it seems our friend here has found a means of perfecting it." Frank looks very smug and kind of throws his shoulders back at this. We get a shot of him doing that. And then Scott continues, "A device which is capable of breaking down solid matter and then projecting it through space and, who knows, perhaps even time itself." And he says this while raising his left hand very stiffly out in front of him, suspiciously. And Janet then says, "You mean," and claps him on the shoulder as well, "he's gonna send us to another planet?" And then Frank yells, "Planet!" jumps down from the tank where he's sitting, walks over to Janet and then says, "Schmanet!" and kind of flips around and then yells, "Janet!" and gives her a hip bump that knocks her forward. And that is the minute.
And what a minute it is. So many amazing lyrics.
Yeah. This is your favorite song in the movie?
Mine?
Yes.
No.
But yeah, we did get our one swear in the movie. Or, well, our one fuck, I should say. And
yeah.
What a fuck it was. He really, put some oomph on it.
He rubbed some funk on that fuck.
Yeah.
This is fun. I don't know if I'd say that, you know, Planet Schmanet is my favorite film. It's definitely in the top three. It is up there. And there's a lot of acting going on.
But are you talking about the minute or the song?
I guess both.
Oh, interesting. Well, it'll be interesting to rate this song with you next minute.
Yeah. But...
Yeah,
particularly, like, the... Well, like, you know... So Brad is giving it, Barry is giving it his all, and like that air punch, that when he's, you know, his feet are glued to the ground,
mm-hmm.
and then like that quake with fear, you tiny fools, is one of those lines, you know, that's one of those Tim Curry deliveries that only he can do.
This is the part that if I ever like played with dolls as a kid, which I never did, but if I did... This would be the scene that I would recreate with, like, Barbies and Kens and, like, probably mm-hmm. a Ninja Turtle. I don't know.
Are there Rocky Horror Picture Show? There has to be, action figures or dolls or something.
Yeah. And they're all pretty bad.
They're not good. And there are multiple types of Frankenfurter rubber duckies. Yeah. All of them are just truly cursed. Like, really, really just Uncanny Valley at best and Nightmare Fuel at worst.
It is true.
But the magenta ones always look very bad. Several years ago, there was a line of Funko Pops, and I had all of them at a time. But unfortunately, they got destroyed in... a weird like raw sewage event. Yeah, they're just absolutely destroyed now. They were signed too. It was very sad.
Again, we're glad that smell does not carry over through podcasts.
Yes. Speaking of disgusting things, the floor of this lab, absolutely filthy. It is definitely not up to the rigorous sanitation requirements of most labs, I would say. You get a zoom in, and it's just like, it looks sticky.
Yeah. You wonder how much work that sonic transducer actually has to do. They may just stick there just because of the floor. Yeah,
that's a good point. I did, the commentary for this minute confirmed what we were talking about last minute, which is that this scene was filmed before everything else because it was in the lab. So... Richard O'Brien confirmed that it was shot well before the dinner sequence.
Which makes sense, because the lab actually isn't at Oakley Court.
Mm-hmm. Really, so it's...
Bray Studios.
Yeah. It's in the basement, right?
Of Bray Studios over... Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah.
I will say, I'm a little disappointed in... kind of the turn that Janet takes in her characterization. She's very damsel in distress this minute. Like previously, like she kind of starts off kind of just mousy, suburban, virginal, and then she seems to take some control over her, you know, life and sexuality with Tutcha and Rocky. But then this moment she's back to, with her trapped in the back of the hand on the forehead and, please save me kind of thing.
Running into Rocky's arms.
Yeah, she goes back to sexy little baby, and I really hate it.
Well, I will say this is a classic tactic. If you want a big strong man to rescue you, but it's like, oh no, somebody help! You know, one time I used to do these this thing I call a surprise trust fall, where I would just suddenly start falling backward, and my boyfriend would have to rush forward and try and catch me. And one time I did that when I was in the presence of Oscar. And my boyfriend was not quick enough, but Oscar leapt into action and caught me, literally was holding me like Fabio. And I was like, oh, Oscar. It was really cute. And he had no idea what was going on.
I remember that. And I remember you used to try and do that around Miguel occasionally, our friend. And he would just let you fall.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty, pretty great. Actually.
No. But yes. So was that... Is that a Nazi salute that Scott is doing?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
It is the wrong hand, but it is also really otherwise similar to that gesture, and he is confirmed basically at this point to be a Nazi, so I don't know.
The thing that I would just throw out there is, even if that's not the intention, it definitely has that effect. Mm-hmm. And I do hate when cast members like go full throttle for it, because if you look, he's not even like really lifting his arm all that much. Like, it's not the 45 mm-hmm. degree angle of like a Nazi salute so much as like a gesture into the middle distance, but it's still not good.
It seems, especially with the rigidity of the hand, it seems odd if it's a coincidence, but there are a lot of odd Nazi coincidences in this movie, so.
Yeah, I don't take it that way, but maybe it is just kind of, you know, for the character, kind of just force of habit from his, you know, previous life as a Nazi scientist.
It's strange love-esque.
Yes, yes, exactly. I do like the symmetry when, so Brad puts his hand on Scott's shoulder and says, "You mean," and then later, you know, kind of Janet does the same thing with the hand on the other shoulder saying, "Yeah, you mean."
Yeah, that I do think was intentional, and I love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, nice little bit of filmmaking.
It's one of the points of the movie where you can see that Jim Sharman did a very good job of, like, directing movement. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's necessarily a lot of that, but in this moment, I think that this is a very well choreographed little beat.
Yeah, yeah, it's not overdone or overproduced, but it's, you know, just because it's campy and fun doesn't mean it should be sloppy. Like, it is a well-made movie, and the cinematography and the direction is good.
I wouldn't necessarily. And that's just another example. Wouldn't necessarily go so far as to say it's not sloppy at any point, but it is. There is a lot of love and thought put into it. Yeah.
There are, you know, it has its issues, as I think almost any movie does. There's some continuity things. But yeah, I think overall it's well done. I like it.
I mean, realistically, this was, the budget they were working with was not high.
A couple of days ago, and we're recording this in late January of 2024, and a couple of days ago, I had one of our cast members over because she was auditioning for the role of Riff Raff, and we were working through a couple of bits of blocking, and I paused during this because I noticed for the first time ever that if you look inside Dr. Scott's glasses, you see the reflection of the lighting that they used for making this scene really pop. You see, like, obviously theatrical type lighting effects going on, and I remarked about that. I said, "Oh my god, you can see the lights reflected off of Dr. Scott's glasses." And Zoe said, "Yeah, that's how glasses work." And then then immediately realized just how bitchy that was, and I burst out just in guffaws, because Zoe is a big fan of the podcast and one of the sweetest people on our cast, at least at this current point. Well,
at least out loud, apparently.
At least out loud. She's also just an outrageous cunt. Yeah, so I was just like, wow, really pulling back the curtain here. So Brad's socks are disgusting in this, and I know that I keep going back to like the different, obviously they used a couple of pairs of socks while filming this, but it seems like they are all kind of equally grimy pairs of socks. The first time that we see Brad just wandering around wearing not shoes, they look like they're literally yellow, and these aren't quite as bad as those, but they are just disgusting though. So shout out to that filthy floor again.
Yeah, it kind of almost looks like a locker room floor. It's the castle's starting to remind me of the house where Ed Norton and Brad Pitt are staying in Fight Club.
Yes.
And I know, like, I know they've got a handyman and a domestic, but I don't know how shit. Like how handy how handy Riff Raff is, or how domestic Magenta is. Like, just there's not a lot of cleaning happening in this place.
No, I mean, you've seen how Magenta.
There's a
mops.
Lot of fluids getting thrown about. That
like just mopped the lab too.
Yeah, but I get the impression that they've never changed that mop water.
Yeah.
The first role that I played a lot when I first started doing Rocky when I was 17 was Dr. Scott. I prided myself in knowing this sonic transducer, it is, I suppose, some kind of audio vibratory physiomolecular transport device. I practiced that like so many times a week and was just like, oh, I'm gonna nail it. This is gonna be so cool. And nobody cared, because of course they wouldn't. But to this day, I'm just like, oh, I'm really happy anytime somebody else does. And it's, I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. It's clearly just like random jargon.
I have literally a huge paragraph of questions about that line and that moment in general. Yeah. But one of the most interesting things is Janet seems to understand that. Like, she's just like, oh, so he's going to send us to another planet? It's like, how did you get that from that? Or is she just, I mean, she might just be like, guessing, because it's never really confirmed if that's what's going on. So maybe Janet was just wrong. But, yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
Also, I kind of think it's weird that everyone kind of ignores the time part, which is, in my mind, the more concerning part of this machine's abilities. But everybody's like, oh no, another planet. And again, that might not be true, because nobody ever brings it up again. But I assume that's what the time warp is.
But like, this just, it all seems like leaps. Like, yeah, I had a lot of questions. It seemed like a big leap from... I mean, because just Frank says, you know, the transducer will seduce you, and he, you know, freezes them in place.
It's a line I have an issue then with, too. I don't, what do you mean seduce? Yeah. It's not, right. Not what word means.
Well, and then all of a sudden, Scott's like, yeah, you know, traveling, interstellar travel, you know, travel through space and time. Time travel, you know, if you can stick someone's feet to the floor, that means you can time travel.
I know.
And then, yeah, and then Janet takes the leap on top of that, like... Where is all this coming from?
Yeah, it's so, okay. It's an audio vibratory physiomolecular transport device.
Transport.
That's a lot of words. It sounds like, though, I don't know where from that they would get it's capable of time travel. And also,
the only word that I can absolutely understand of that is transport.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, everything else makes sense. Like, okay, it's using sound and vibration, and, like, it's transporting. Now, and I also, it bothers me that he says, a device that is capable of breaking down solid matter and then projecting it. I'm like, why just solid matter? Is there a reason it can't do liquids? And if so, are they gonna be transported as desiccated husks?
This is like the Willy Wonka shrinking chocolate bar machine.
Yeah. I mean, and it honestly, it sounds like basically that concept. And if Willy Wonka had been like, by the way, this also could send you back in time, but we're just not doing that right now, I think everyone would have been like, what? Why did you even mention that? But yeah.
I feel like I saw a Tumblr post like a million years ago where somebody was like, Willy Wonka is obviously from Transsexual Transylvania. And people were like, OMG, that's so clever, you know, in the way that Tumblr does.
Yeah.
Or did. So that was one of the things that, if I'm recalling correctly, they were like, he even has a sonic transducer. I'm like, okay.
That is fair, but yeah, yeah, I mean,
that makes sense.
I don't know. So the other thing is, like, he says, you won't find Earth people quite the easy mark you imagined, but, I mean, seems like you're a pretty easy mark. You're frozen, ain't ya? You're about to be forcibly put in a floor show. Like, okay, you know what it is, but you still seem like you were a pretty easy mark. You know?
Has this ever happened to you?
He did manage to seduce Brad and Janet.
That is true, but I don't. So, to my knowledge, he did not use the transducer, so I don't know.
No, he didn't even need it. So they were easy marks. Yeah, because it kind of calls back to, you mentioned, you know, with time travel. Well, you know, we had the time warp, and, you know, Frank talks about playing with sound. So there's your audio vibratory aspect, but like Scott wasn't here for that.
Yeah,
like he doesn't know about the time warp, so...
Well, I mean, theoretically, he's been working on this device, so I can understand how he would know what it was capable of, but I'm not really sure... I mean, I guess it was just to tie it into the time warp. I'm not sure why time travel is brought up at all, because they're apparently not using it for that in this case, and it doesn't make sense. I'm also, like, based on my understanding of this device and what it does... Why does it have the power to stick someone's feet to the floor?
Right.
Yeah. Like, is it transporting some of the molecules of their feet into the floor and vice versa to fuse them?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Do they, like, I'm trying to think back to, like, you know, was there ever a scene in Star Trek where they used the transporter to, like, you know, freeze someone's socks to the floor? Did that ever happen?
Well, and it's interesting that you would bring up Star Trek. This entire run of jargon followed by, you mean this layman's explanation of what we just discussed?
Yeah.
That was a thing that they did in Star Trek all the fucking time. It was jargon, 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 jargon. Oh, like threading the needle. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And I love that. I mean, I think that is a really fun, like, lots of old cheesy sci-fi used to do that. And I think it's an obvious reference to that. I think it's really fun.
Now, I did kind of, while we're talking about this, so is there, like, are all these different devices connected? Is there a reason that, you know, there's this one control panel? So it's got, you know, the electromagnet, it's got the sonic transducer, the Medusa, and then, like, the three triangles when Rocky's in the tank. Like, they're all control, you know, it's all this one control panel. Are they... You know, are they connected, or is this just for, like, ease of use to have all the controls in one place?
Yeah, that's interesting, because the Doritos are the reactor power input. So I always viewed that as being basically, like, just adding electricity to this situation, you know?
And
so,
the cheap chandelier, the thing that actually has, like, the food coloring that creates life, would also have to be connected to this like slutty Playmobil of gadgets.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I like to think that it's just like, it's just like for convenience, they just put all of their random outer space gadgets on one thing, because I don't see why those things would have to be necessarily connected. I really like how Brad, like, nods after Dr. Scott says, it's something we ourselves have been working on for quite some time. Brad gives one, like, really solid, quick, like, firm nod as though to be like, oh, yes, of course. I know all about the sonic transducer plans that, or the audio molecular, audio vibratory physiomolecular transport device plans that we've been working on. Like, he is just posturing. There's no way he knew anything. Yeah. He had to go through a refresher course just to get through high school, I think. So
this, my note for that is, his best friend is telling the best story. Because Brad just, we keep bringing it up that Brad genuinely thinks that he and Dr. Scott have some sort of like Tuesdays with Maury sort of thing going, and there's nothing to indicate that Dr. Scott feels the same way.
Yeah, I feel like when Brad comes to visit him late in the evening, randomly, he's just like, oi, this guy again, you know? Why do you guys think Frank was so triggered by the mention of planets?
Because he's an alien.
I guess that's true. I mean, I don't know. Like, so I was like, because if we're going with the idea that Janet is just completely wrong, because it's funny, that never gets confirmed that that is the plan. I mean, I know the house takes off, but that doesn't seem to be a result of the transducer. I mean, the implication is the transducer could just zap them to another planet. Like, there's been nothing to indicate that that was Frank's plan or what the transducer was even going to do to them. So it's funny that that Janet is just like, you mean he's going to send us to another planet? And if she's wrong, then it's funny that Frank is just like, no, now I'm going to fuck with you.
Yeah, I agree. I don't kind of see where there's any indication that, like, there's any intention of bringing humans in general or Brad and Janet specifically back, you know, back home. Which is kind of like, we're kind of getting ahead of the film. And I hope you will kind of dig deep into it when the time comes. You know, when Riff Raff says your mission is a failure, you know, kind of what is the mission?
Yeah, that is the
What are they doing
that
here?
That is the question. In this movie?
Yeah,
what is the mission and how did it fail? We will get to it at that point.
I feel like Frank would want to know that question, the answer to that question as well. What was the mission?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
I
it seems like the building a man was just a side hobby of his.
Yeah. I thought I knew the mission, but now I realize, like, I don't think there's really much in the film to support what I had thought, so now I have no idea.
Yeah, and they don't go into it in, like, Revenge of the Old Queen, do they?
No, but they do a lot of time travel in Revenge of the Old Queen, which I think is another extremely valid reason as to why that wasn't ever created and turned into either a musical or a film.
Yeah, if there's one thing that always works without much thought being put into it, it's time travel in media.
Extremely true.
Ah, wow. Things are kind of coming together. So you mentioned Willy Wonka. So my theory, if I can.
I'm ready.
If I may.
You may not.
What I thought the mission was, it was a mission of conquest. You know, the stereotypical aliens come down. They're trying to take over humanity. And so Frank's plan was, well, I'll use sex. I'll seduce the young humans. You know, I'll make an army of Rockies. I'll make a bunch of sex robots that will seduce the young people and corrupt the young humans, and so I can take over the planet. That's what I thought the mission was. And then I realized, well, no, Frank could just be a horny alien. That's not necessarily the mission. But something I'd never really noticed, or never noticed at all, until watching along with the podcast during Time Warp, there are flags, like other country flags, on the tables. in the area where all the Transylvanians are. So that made me think, oh, so maybe there's like other Franks. There's other castles around the world. You know, Frank isn't the only, I guess, like general whatever. Like, this isn't the only front on whatever this mission is. There's other castles and Franks around the world that are doing their thing. So maybe, and maybe one of those is Willy Wonka. And he, too, is trying to take over, you know, subjugate or take over, enslave humanity through the young people. But he's going younger, whereas like Frank is targeting like late teens, early 20s, trying to corrupt them with sex. Willy Wonka does it with candy. Ooh. And he's going after like a younger demographic. But it's all about, you know, corruption of humanity so that, you know, so they can be easy targets for conquest.
And let's be real, Willy Wonka is an equally perverse name as Frankenfurter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I love this.
Well, and he kills as many people as Frank does.
God, that's true.
I know, supposedly, like, all the kids are okay at the end, but really, like, you shrink a kid down to 6 inches tall and then they just stretch him back.
It's also...
I'm not buying that.
It seems as much of a surprise to Willy Wonka as to anybody that the kids are okay. He's like, oh, all right.
That wasn't my plan, but yeah. Sure.
I mean, he was certain that that girl was going to get incinerated in the trash chute and that Augustus was going to drown in the chocolate.
So, yeah, so Riff Raff and Magenta are just, you know, they're Frank's Oompa Loompas.
Ooh.
Oh my God, that's true. This is...
There you go.
This is making me enjoy both Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and Rocky Horror Picture Show just a little bit more.
How could you enjoy Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory more?
I didn't think I could.
Yeah.
And yet, like, Gene Wilder was so good in that.
Gene Wilder was so good. What a fox.
Does that mean that they could have swapped? Like, Gene Wilder could have been Frankenfurter
and Tim Curry as Willy Wonka?
Oh, I would love to see either
please.
Of those.
That's a great doubleheader.
Yeah.
Willy Wonka and Rocky Horror. There you go. Put those together.
I also would like to take this opportunity to suggest we do a Willy Wonka theme night on Cast.
That would be really great for the people who get to watch it, but not really great for the people who have to coordinate it.
I want to be Frank and Wonka.
Frank and Wonka.
Yeah.
Frank and Waka Waka.
Yeah, no, that's Oscar when he goes into Frank.
This is a cool part for Shadowcasters because this is one of the first bits of very basic information that you can just internalize when you're playing Dr. Scott. And really most characters, there's something that I tell people, it's left hand, right foot. And that is because most characters, but specifically Dr. Scott, gestures with his left hand almost exclusively and does things with his right foot almost exclusively. And this is the beginning of that.
Yeah, it is interesting.
But it's Eddie who does it first. Well, I guess also Riff does it before that. But this is the first point where... when people are going into a role, I can just go like, hey, it's going to be fine. Left hand, right foot. Don't look at the screen.
I will confess that I misheard a line from this minute for literally decades.
Okay.
That a mental mind fuck can be nice. And you have to, you know, in context, when I first saw this film, it was not, you know, home video existed. Like, we had television and we had, you know, VHS tapes, but there was no official release of the film. So for many years, I had just seen kind of the worn out old print that my local theater had. I always thought that line was a mental mind fuck at midnight.
Oh.
Which kind of fit into the, you know, the midnight madness cult movie type thing. And I thought it was just kind of a little Easter egg that somehow, like, you know, predicted that this would be shown at midnight.
And it
was,
still
was how
sense.
I heard that line. Yeah.
Mental mind fuck at midnight.
Fuck at midnight.
Yeah.
It's
interesting to me that, because this movie is rated R, It's interesting to me that they kept it to the one fuck. That's something you normally see in a PG-13 movie, although I have no idea what the standards were in 1975, but still, theoretically, they could have had more fucks.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because now, like nowadays, with just the one fuck, it could be
Oh, for
PG-13,
sure. It barely has boobs, too.
but the nudity, even, there's only a, the handful of boobs, but
Hey, Columbia's better
that
endowed
would,
than just a handful.
yeah, but the boobs would make it R, whereas like back in the day in the 70s and 80s, like PG movies had boobs in them.
Oh, for sure.
So like back then, like, oh, the F word, fuck would have made it an automatic R, but the boobs would have been okay. Whereas nowadays, you're like, eh, boo, one fuck, okay, we can do a PG-13, but then the boobs make it, probably an automatic R. And the nip slip.
Yeah, and
It's
the
coming up in a couple minutes.
yeah the well, we already had one nip slip, and we've had the magazine that has a
Oh,
topless
yeah.
lady on the cover as well. But yeah, we got a peek-a-boob and then a double nip slip coming up for Columbia. She just could not keep them things contained.
Nor did she want to.
Nor did she want to. A woman after my own heart.
Yeah, Kelly really does like two things a whole lot, being naked and putting things in her mouth.
It's true.
Sometimes at the same time.
It's
Often
so
at the same
true.
time. My friend Erin in college used to say if it's within arm's reach of Kelly, she's doing work on it.
That's true. I wasn't even thinking of the putting stuff in your mouth in a sexual way. I'm just thinking about all of the times that
Yeah.
you've been like, oh, look at this disgusting thing that's been on the ground and somebody stepped on it. Wouldn't it be a shame if somebody were to put it in my mouth?
Mean, Aaron wasn't really talking about it sexually either. I mean, I had a habit of like just putting like things in my something that I would do a lot is like plastic soda bottles. I would just be kind of like sucking on them. So, I like to say it's because I wasn't breastfed as a child, but
Well, we at Rocky Horror Minute have already said, and we will say it again, breast isn't best, fed is best.
that's true. And although I was not breastfed as a child, I have made up for it in adulthood. So.
I don't think that's how that works.
It is.
Oh, okay.
That's
Well,
what I
you are
told
a
your mom
doctor.
anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom doesn't have breasts.
I sucked them dry. Okay. Do you guys have any other notes for this minute?
Remind me again the name of this song.
Planet! Schmenet! Janet!
What a stupid name for a song. I just need you to. I
Yeah.
needed you to hear that once from me, and then more times later.
In the show, it's called Planet Hot Dog, which is worse, I think.
Some say that you are the mayor of Planet Hot Dog.
So,
But no, I
no
don't
more
have any
notes
other
for today.
notes.
Sean?
Yeah, I think that's it, except for callbacks.
All right, well, why don't you hit us with any callbacks you have?
I really only have two that I want to bring up. So one, of course, you've mentioned previously, the 1, 2, 3, 4, use the whole fuck the door. And then the other one, which was the reason I requested this particular minute, because I'm not sure if I love it because it's stupid or despite it's stupid, but this has got to be the stupidest callback I've ever heard. So we go down the line, Janet's, I can't move my feet, and then Scott, my wheels, I can't move my teeth.
My teeth.
And then Brad, my socks, I can't move my socks. But yeah, my because he brings his hand up to
Oh,
his mouth. So
yeah.
my wheels, my God, I can't move my
I've heard
teeth.
that as my wheels, I can't move my face, but same deal.
And I've heard it
Yeah.
as my wheels, I can't move my legs.
Yeah. I've also when they say I can't feel my face sometimes, or I can't move my face, sometimes people will do the I can't feel my face when I'm with you, but that has died out as that song has become irrelevant.
Now you know how it feels.
Yeah. But also before that, when Janet is doing it, you can say, my cheap tacky shoes. I can't move my cheap tacky shoes. Which is also good.
I like it.
Yeah. And that's it for you, Sean?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one before. Yeah, that was it. That's all I had.
Definitely those are, I think, the best ones in the minute. There is also several for Dr. Scott's little monologue, and I'm going to try and remember them all. So, wait, which one does it start on, Leandra? The vibrator one.
Oh, do you want me to do the... Well, do you want to read the monologue and me drop in the callbacks? Would that
sure.
help?
Sure, that's fine. I could do either one, but I don't remember where it starts.
It starts with, you won't find Earth people quite the easy mark that you imagine.
This sonic transducer, it is, I suppose, some sort of audio vibratory physiomolecular transport device.
You mean...
A vibrator.
A vibrator.
Okay, yeah. And then, so yeah, he says, you mean a vibrator. Yes, Brad, it's something we ourselves have been working on for quite some time.
A working vibrator.
But it seems our friend here has found a means of perfecting
vibrator.
It.
A perfect vibrator.
A device which is capable of breaking down solid matter.
A broken vibrator.
And then projecting it.
A projecting vibrator.
Through space, and who knows, perhaps even time itself.
Doctor Who's vibrator.
Yes. Yeah. So that one's fun if, as you can see, I've heard it a million times and I still can't really remember when to start it. But yes, if you get the timing right on those, it really will get a lot. Because it's like not that funny at first, but the way that it will not stop and you always think it's over and then there's more, it's funny.
Like this podcast.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's all I got.
I have just a couple more. Okay. There's when Frankenfurter says, you are. There are two options for this. One is you say, hey, Frank, spell urine. And he goes, you are. And close enough.
Yeah.
And then there's, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
I love that one.
I feel very old when I hear that one.
I don't know why that show fell out of favor. It was so good.
And then you go, Janet, go for the Oscar. We're trapped. Better luck next time.
Yeah.
Or, we're trapped in a bad movie. And then after Frank says fuck, you say, Mom, he said the fuck word. And then when Janet says, you mean he's going to send us to another planet, you can go, I don't know, maybe.
Also, Sean, you'll appreciate that in honor of Paul Rubens after he passed away, this didn't really take off with the audience like we hoped, but we tried to do a secret word in his honor for our show and have everybody go crazy, and the word we chose was this fuck, since it's only said once in the movie. Mm.
And we even had somebody dress up and like hold a sign that said secret word, and on the other side it said fuck. And yeah, the audience was just like, I'm not sure that I understand this.
I'm too young and drunk for this, basically, yeah.
My knees work just fine.
Yeah, just...
And then the only other one that I have is, what's the name of this song? And that's when Frank goes, planet, schmanet, Janet.
Only Tim Curry could sell that.
Yeah. That's all I got.
All right. Well,
all right.
I guess it's time to sign off the way we sign off all of our shows. now.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. So get the fuck out.
To the late night double feature picture show.